Good morning, everybody. My name's Andrea. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Hello. I love the topic of this convention. Acceptance is key. I chose for this to add gratitude to that because to me they go hand in hand. This program has taught me to have a grateful heart. It's taught me to appreciate everything that comes in my path, good or bad. And I've learned so much even from the things that were the bad things that happened, you know, because there's always a growth opportunity, no matter what the situation is. And that is what acceptance means to me, is being able to handle the situation and let go of the struggle. I remember still in practicing my disease, the times that I was struggling are the times that I was still holding on to that control. You know, if I was angry about something, or if I was unsettled about something, or just feeling uneasy, I knew it was because I hadn't reached acceptance. And there were a couple of years when I first entered program in 94, I was nowhere near ready to accept anything that I was hearing in the rooms. But as we hear so often, keep coming back. Well, I came back. I did not get abstinent for about 2.5 years in program and continued to gain weight, about 40 pounds in that time, the whole time coming to meetings. And I look back at it now, and I know that was part of my journey, and I'm happy to have had that be the experience, and it taught me humility, and it taught me to ask for help. And it finally gave me the tools that I needed to find acceptance. And what finally did it for me was truly taking the third step, surrendering, finally being ready to give up the control, realizing that I could not do it by myself. And I had, again, after those 2.5 years with my butt in the chair, hearing all the things that members were sharing, members that had been in recovery for years and years, and even the newcomers. You know, we always learn as much from the newcomers as we do from the people that have been in program forever. But finally seeing that those that had the recovery that I wanted were the ones that had surrendered. You know, they had given up control of their lives. They were willing to have a higher power be in charge of their destiny and their journey. And so finally being able to take the third step in 97, that's when my abstinence began. And from that point forward, through help of sponsors and, again, you know, just the things that I'd hear at meetings, at conventions, it became more and more important to me to let higher power run the show completely, you know, as far as my eating was concerned, but also with the other parts of my life. And just knowing that he could do better for me than I could do for myself, you know, has given me a whole new life. So as far as acceptance goes, though, it didn't come easy. You know, it's not just, you can't just flip the switch and say, oh, I want to accept. Here, I'm going to turn the switch on, and there it is. Well, it didn't work that way. You know, and that's, again, where prayer has come in, and working the steps, you know, and constantly talking with a sponsor and asking other people, how do you find your acceptance? You know, what did you do to be able to let go of the control, let go of the food? You know, the answer always comes back to the steps. You know, we're a program of action. And, you know, I think I was slipping and sliding those first couple of years just because I didn't want to dig into the steps. You know, I didn't want to do that hard work. And it is hard work, but it's such a rewarding thing that we do for our recovery. You know, so it's something that I found to be really critical is my focus is always on the steps. When I talk with sponsees, I'll ask them, what step are you working on right now? You know, my sponsor will ask me the same thing. And it's a good reminder because it always keeps that focus on, you know, the crux of our program. A couple of things that have happened over the years have really brought me to towards the gratitude part of it. Something that's changed over the years is my relationship with my mom. We had kind of some struggles, you know, with when I was a young adult, and she had some mental illness as I was growing up. So it was quite difficult to, you know, bring my daughters to visit her. And, you know, as my kids grew up, it never really got any easier. But about 3 years ago, my mom, she was still living in her home by herself, hobbling along with a walker. She's in Ohio, and she didn't want to make the choice to come to Colorado. But she ended up falling down the stairs, and she laid there for 2 days. Nobody had known she had fallen. And it happened to be Mother's Day weekend, and she fell on a Friday, and we were trying to reach her for Mother's Day on Sunday. And nobody could get her. And so then we called the police. They came in and broke in and got her to the hospital. So she did survive that. She had a long recovery, but she has not walked since. So she's in a nursing home bedridden in Ohio for the last 3 years and literally has not walked or been out of bed. And, you know, miracles do happen because the relationship with her, now it's beautiful. Like, I would get back there a couple times a year at least, and now that I'm back from Japan, I go more often. But it's interesting because you always wonder what's behind this, what is higher power, what's the greater purpose. And for my mom, I have seen her mellow. You know, her personality has changed in these 3 years. If you can imagine, you would easily think she could have been frustrated and just so angry and you know, taken a real turn for the worse. But instead, her personality has mellowed and kind of blossomed. You know, I find her smiling and happy and, you know, go figure. You know, it's just been an amazing thing to see and to experience. And she never fails to tell me how much she loves me and appreciates, you know, the things that are going on now in our lives and the help that I'm giving her and all of that. So, again, it's just a beautiful thing to be grateful for. As I accepted that my relationship with my mom maybe wasn't ideal as I was growing up, but the thing that it's blossomed into now, it's beautiful, you know. So that's one thing I'm grateful for. Another thing is my husband and I. He's the one that 12-stepped me into OA. He's a recovering alcoholic and been sober for over 30 years. And you know, as my weight was increasing and my craziness was increasing, he said, you know, there's a program for you know, people that have issues with food, and you know, so he 12-stepped me into OA. And you know, we had some good years then when I started recovery, but then our marriage, you know, wasn't going to survive. But we were married. We separated 8 years ago. So he has his own home. I've had my own home that whole time. But 4 years ago, he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And looking back at a past MRI, he's really probably had it for more like 12 years already. And so he, in the last year especially, has taken a serious decline cognitively, and it became clear to me when I was home at Christmas that I needed to resign my job in Japan and come back. And years ago, I committed to be his caretaker because there's nobody else, and I don't want our daughters to have to do that. So I came back. And it was really just in the nick of time. Now that I see, you know, how far the decline has gotten, it really should have been maybe a year ago that I returned. But basically, he can't do any financial matters. He can't do his laundry, you know, nothing really. Cooking, anyway. So basically, he needs, you know, almost full-time care. We're getting to that point, and he's exhibiting some Alzheimer's symptoms as well. So the first day that I came back from Japan, I went out to his place and spent, you know, like 8 hours there, gave him a haircut and tried to fix his car, you know, just all these things that had fallen by the wayside. And every day since then, I've been out there regularly. There's not a day that goes by that he doesn't say, I'm so glad you're back. Thank you for helping me. You know, and that's his program, his gratitude, his acceptance. And the very first day I was out there, this was so interesting to me because it showed again accepting and gratefulness, because I left after 8 hours of his place, and I was grateful to have the opportunity to have gotten a message in time that I needed to come back and be of service to him, and to know it was so clear that it was the right choice, you know, that I saw higher power's will for me to come back and to do that. So that was such a surprise to me. It shocked me to leave after that first day of spending 8 hours there and feeling grateful, you know. And again, that's program, you know. That is accepting. My life took, you know, a drastic turn from I was teaching in Japan for a couple of years on a Navy-based kindergarten military kids. And I loved it. It was a dream job. You know, it was stressful, but it was a fantastic experience, and I was blessed to get to travel all over Asia during those couple of years. But in February, it just became so dramatic and clear to me that, nope, it's time for me to fly back home and move back here. And I don't know why. You know, again, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is always as it should be. And if we can accept that, if I can accept that, and I've learned to, life is beautiful. You know, it's not a struggle anymore. You know, it just flows. And I think back to those miserable years of me trying to run the show, and it got me nowhere except in misery and disappointment and anger and resentment. You know, all those things that I don't want to live in recovery. So I'm just so grateful, you know, to again have gotten that message. The last time I was out there, he said to me, he says, you know, even with my condition, he says, my life has gotten a lot better since you've come back. You know? And it's just, it's amazing, really, to have that opportunity. Let's see what else did I want to share. I've always loved the word opportunities. I had a sponsee early on, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and she hated when I'd tell her, "Oh, this is a good opportunity. What's the opportunity in this? You know, what good could come of this, or what, you know, work with it." And now, anytime I hear that word, opportunity, it gives me almost goosebumps, because I know there's a chance for something good to happen there, or there's some kind of learning that's supposed to happen, or some change that's going to occur, you know, with that opportunity. So I'm always grateful and accepting of the opportunities that are presented. And speaking of opportunities, anybody who hasn't done a lot of service in your recovery, it's time. You know, it's a beautiful thing you can do for yourself and, of course, for others. But service, I know it's what kept me coming back. When I started program a month in, at my meeting said, "Oh, we need a new group rep." I'm like, "What's that?" And they told me, and I said, "Well, I can go." And so I went to that meeting, and that's where my service started. I wasn't abstinent yet. It wasn't a requirement to be in a group rep to be, you know, have a certain length of abstinence. But something told me, okay, volunteer for that. And I was the type, if I made that commitment, I was going to show up. You know, I wasn't going to talk myself out of it. So having that commitment in those first months is what kept me, you know, coming back to the meetings. And then I, you know, must have chosen some other little service thing. Anyway, it was the service of those first couple of years, still, again, not in recovery yet, not abstinent, still gaining weight, but it was those commitments that kept me, you know, coming back to the meetings, coming back into the rooms. And after that, it was one opportunity after another as far as service goes. You know, our group needed a Region 3 rep, and I did that for a while. And then, as was shared, you know, somebody gently says, "Well, why don't you run for this position or that position? You know, the steering committee needs this or that or whatever." And, you know, the things that I remember hearing in the rooms was, if somebody suggests something to you, suggests a service position or asks you to do, like when Juliet emailed the other day and said, "We need a last-minute Sunday morning, you know, and like, okay, this is God, you know, and like tapping me on the shoulder saying, move on, okay, you know, say you'll do it. So if that happens to you in your recovery, listen to that message. You know, that is your higher power through somebody else suggesting, maybe this is your next right step. You know, this is the next thing that is good for your recovery, you know, and just go with it, you know. And again, it's given, you know, lots of opportunities to serve. Like being on the Region 3 Steering Committee is a fantastic experience, and, you know, we get to serve at a different level, and you get to meet people, you know, all over the place. And, you know, having this event here has been fantastic, having the reps here and everything. But just listen to your higher power, you know, listen to what he's telling you. And I know the way that I found that came to me is through prayer and meditation and being quiet. I've not been staying at the hotel. I live about a half hour back and forth, so I've been turning the radio off and just listening to, you know, what higher power is trying to tell me on the way or in the car or wherever you are, you know. Find that quiet time and that peacefulness that you can, you know, grab anywhere you can in our sometimes frantic world, you know. But it's so important, because that's where the answers come from. You know, when your higher power is trying to give you a message, if we're shut off, if I'm shut off and not in receiving mode, it's a lost opportunity, you know. But if I'm listening and present, you know, there's nothing but good things and growth can come from that, you know. Or whatever I'm supposed to learn. If I'm struggling with a situation, sometimes just all I need is that quiet time or that prayer time, and then the answer comes, you know. And then, you know, just going with that and being in God's grace with whatever the outcome is important too, has been for me. It's pretty hard for me anymore to not find something to be grateful for. You know, my heart has changed towards where, to me now, it's easy to find something to be grateful for in any situation. And I've gotten to a point where I can trust higher power and have faith that he's leading me or showing me, or he wants me to experience maybe not always joy or, you know, giddiness. Maybe it's just a quiet solemnness with the situation, or, you know, whatever. There's extremes. Whatever the feeling is that I'm supposed to have, I've gotten into the point of being able just to trust higher power that he's going to have me feel the way I'm supposed to, and then take the next step. You know, if I'm feeling led to do something different, you know, I can hear that message. If I'm in that point of acceptance and that point of quietness and listening to higher power as well. I think that's pretty much what I wanted to share this morning. And I think now the plan is to open it up for pitches from the microphone. Is that right? Okay. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Barbara G. from Heart of Texas Inner Group, and I'm anorexic bulimic. I'm recovering anorexic bulimic and compulsive about food. And as an example, the gratitude that she was talking about and the acceptance, I have an example because I need pictures. I need word pictures to make it make sense to me. My husband and I just bought 12 acres in Texas, kind of out in the boonies. He was born and raised on a farm, and that's his dream. And before we did this, we didn't even think about it. I mean, it was just talk. And then all of a sudden, boom, we ended up at a closing. And I felt God, I felt the comfort. I didn't, there was no great fear. Now, granted, We're both in our 60s, and 3 years ago we closed on our first house that we bought in Texas. So we have a 27-year mortgage. And then he decides that we want to do this. Well, as we were discussing this after the fact, he said, you know, we'll just use it as an investment because land is just going up. And I thought, well, sure, I can do that. I'm comfortable doing that. I got to leave him with everything, all the finances. That's not wise, I know, but it brings fear up for me, insecurity. So at this point, that's how we're dealing with that. And I have found that he now wants to build a house on it and move in it by next summer. And I have realized that God may be working on him, but I am not out of the picture. He is still working on me. And I can accept that he doesn't have to act the way I expect him to. He has to be the person he is. And my job is to accept that he is in control regardless. And that nothing happens by accident. Maybe we're going to, who knows? I mean, we could go either extreme as far as being poverty level, or we could be happy campers. But the point is I'm not in my present if I'm there. And I have to accept that whatever is happening in my life is not a surprise to God. And I can accept it. And however it's going to affect my partner or the group I'm involved with is up to him. So that I can find so much gratitude in just knowing that this program has given me peace that I didn't know prior to program. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Lily. I'm a compulsive reader and a picky food it is. Come see me. I don't know how I got here. And I'm from Dallas area. I don't live in Dallas. I'm 2 hours away from there, but I'm representing them. So it's been great to be here, and this is the first meeting with all you. I did get lucky enough to get to be here Friday night and listen to the speaker Friday and listen to her last night. That really helped a lot. But I've needed a meeting. I only have like two in my area. So I'm going to share a couple of God things that he had me do and that I've been grateful for. So one of them was we needed another meeting in my area. I needed another meeting. The two that are in Tyler. And I got to Tyler and found out I was going to be back in recovery after 12-year relapse. I was like, oh, God, I don't know where these people are here. I just moved here. How am I going to get away? You know how all that is in my head. So I just prayed that I'd become abstinent. I was able to do it that day, but it was all a God thing. Nobody could get me back into those rooms. My sister tried. Everybody had tried. I wouldn't go. But only God could do that for me. So that's an acceptance thing, too. And I'm so grateful today that I listened. There are many times in my life that I try to listen, but I'm talking so loud, I don't hear. Or I'm talking so much, I don't hear. I'm not an introvert. I'm the opposite extreme. So God has to really work harder to get me to hear. But sometimes I can shut up and listen. So here's my gratitude and thing that I wasn't listening for at first. I don't know why, but God, my husband has access to all those Libby Square tiles. And so I thought, oh, what can my crafts with that? And when I started doing some things, I said, you know what, LA doesn't have any of these things. Maybe there's something I can make for LA. So I thought, okay, I'm making these to sell it away. So I made them and everything, and some of them turned out better than others, and took me a while. I made some for family first, so they wouldn't be awful when we got them, but anyway. So I didn't know what price to price, and I took them up to the hospitality suite and just asked them, I thought, oh, sure, you can leave them here. Well, the nice thing I got out of that, I'm grateful and accepting of, was I got to meet six people from this area. We chatted a while, and I wouldn't have gotten to do that because I wasn't able to go in the rooms with y'all. So I made six new friends just by being able to go up there and think I'm selling them. So I come back in, yesterday, and one of them sold. And then, like, before I went in there, I said, okay, God. Well, actually, when I left them, I said, God, you know, I know you drive the bus. So whatever happens, if it's your will that I sell these, great. If it's not, then black it. Don't let anybody buy one. So it was blocked. So I said, well, that's not what I was meant to do. And it was like this little voice in my head and said, you already gave them away. So last night at our dinner, I was able to give people these little things that weren't much of anything. And I said, if you don't win a prize tonight, here's yours. And I wish I'd made enough for everybody after that, because the joy was giving it away. And that's the joy I get here. And I'm proving I get to give it away. I went to the wrong table this morning. Those were the hedgehog people. They looked like us. Some are normal, some are bigger, some are not. Good looks, right? And so, can I sit there? I didn't even pay attention to what kind of language they have. That's how much sleep I'm getting. So, they said, what are you here for? I said, oh, God, that's an opening. Ding, ding. And I said, well, I'm a compulsive reading food addict. Well, that's not anything. And then he looked at me like, what in the heck is she talking about? And I just said, I'm maintaining a 100-pound weight loss, and I've done it for the last 4 years through a program called Overeaters Anonymous, or OA. And without God helping me, I would never have been able to do this any other way. Making mistakes is an opportunity to show. You just never know what will happen your way. So that's how we take negatives and turn them into positives. Now, it's a big acceptance today, and that may be going on my gratitude list that I write today. So thank you for letting me have some more grateful things today.
I'm Karen Sue Beda from Tofo Green Country Inner Group. And I came into the program when I was 38 and I had teenage boys. And a second marriage that we were stepping into marriage with kids, and that's always a challenge. And when you have somebody who needs to be in a 12-step program and isn't, it's an even bigger challenge. And I had everybody in therapy. We were all in family therapy except the dachshund. And if he had been more verbal, he would have been there too. But I had the therapist convinced that if the men in my life would just straighten up and fly right, that I would not be unhappy. And at some point on a Sunday afternoon, I was lying there thinking, as I felt so uncomfortable from Sunday dinner, that if I could just throw up, I would feel better. And I have a family that several members are in AA, and I knew that was an insane thought, but I had no idea what you guys were called. I tried Foodaholics, the Yellow Pages were still around, and it took me forever to figure out you guys were called Overeaters Anonymous. And but by Wednesday, I was in my first OA meeting, and things got better in the house because I was the pebble that was constantly throwing in the pond and causing the ripples, and my family just went like that. And the one I struggled with the most was my teenage son who was in high school. We had this little tete-a-tete constantly going back and forth, and he would say he was going to do something, and I would say, no, you're not, and then it would blow up, and then I'd be tossing eggs in the backyard in my anger and feeding the squirrels. And it was one of the therapist's ideas, just go in the backyard and throw eggs. Okay. And it did not help, I'm here to tell you. It was a bad idea. But one day my older son walked in and he said, I'm going to this festival, this song thing, and I heard that it was not a good place for kids under the age of 18. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And I said, well, there will be consequences when you come home. And I went back to watching HDTV. And he just stood there and looked at me. And he turned to his friends and he said, I guess I'm not going. And he came and he sat down next to me on the couch. He was quiet for a minute. And then he turned to me and he said, I absolutely hate away. And I was like, what? And he said, you and I have this dance. And he said, I knew the dance. I would say something, you would disagree, I would say it again, and you would get batshit crazy. And my friends and I both agree, you don't have to listen to crazy people. And I would go do whatever I wanted. And he said, even my friends, they were saying, you got to start listening to your mom, she's making a lot more sense. So, my son is now 38, and he's given me 4 adorable grandkids, from 2 up to 13. And I am Granny B, and about 6 months ago, I turned to him. This conversation did not go the way I thought it would. But I turned to him, and I said, you know, do you think that I would be as much a part of your life today if I had not gotten into OA? You know, I mean, I have lunches with grandsons, I'm invited to Halloween, I'm invited to all sorts of stuff, to babysit. I'm the only one on the school roster that's allowed to pull out a grandchild if I want to. And, you know, which is kind of fun. And I love to surprise them with that. You know, just like, I'm here. And he turned to me and he said, you're absolutely correct, you would not be a part of our life except for those things we would have to do with you. Mother's Day, Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving. But he said, that would be all we would want to be in contact with you. Not what I was expecting to hear. I was expecting to hear, nah, sure, no, you'd be a part of our lives, you know. But he was honest with me. And that I am so grateful for, because I was on a path that would have made me a very lonely person in my 60s. And my husband is here with me this weekend, and Zoe's been very supportive of me, and I was in for 4 years, and then I had a 3-year relapse in my 40s. And about 3 years in, we were at the movie theater, and he turned to me, and he said, you're really scaring me. Now, he's an only child, grew up on a farm, one room schoolhouse, and he's an engineer. He does not talk about feelings. And we were there to see a comedy. It's like, what? And he goes, you're really scaring me. And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, you are so unhappy. He said, the happiest I've ever seen you is when you were in OA. And I wish you would go back. And Saturday morning, I was there, and it's been 15 years, and I've never left the rooms. So, and I'm here to say service has been a big part of that. And so I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to be in OA, because it's given me a chance to think about, what would I do with my one wild and beautiful life? And OA has made it possible for me to know what the answer to that is. So thank you.
I'm Penny. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in program since 1988, so through the years I've learned a little bit of the history of OA. I'm also from Texas, Dallas Metroplex Intergroup, and so in Texas we learned about AG, who began a 12-step program called Gluttons Anonymous. And then, of course, Roseanne began Overeaters Anonymous in, was it California, I think. And apparently the two of them figured it out, got together, you know, had a vote. What was the name going to be? Well, today I'm very grateful that I'm in Overeaters Anonymous and not Gluttons Anonymous. Thank you, God.
Good morning, I'm Elaine, compulsive overeater. I want to echo what somebody said recently. You know, I've been in the business meeting, and it is a delight to come and absorb the fullness of a meeting, and also have a chance to just sit and listen and knit, which is a new hobby for me. You know, when you put down the food, there's so many other things to pick up, and knitting is one of my research ones. I love the topic. I love about acceptance and gratitude. I guess there are just two stories that came to my mind, two experiences. One is, you know, I first come into the program and, you know, people talk about gratitude lists and, you know, it's like whatever, you know, low eyes. And three items seemed like just
really a lot. It seemed like a lot to have to put three things down. And, you know, of course, fast forward lots of years, lots of sponsors, lots of step work. And I find that today, 10 items on a gratitude list is really good. It's hard to stop once I start focusing on what is going right. And, you know, two other things. One is, I've been married about 20 years, and I love what I also heard about. You know, we would have taken our cats to therapy. We called us a blended cat family, you know, when we got together. And so my husband's name often never made it on the gratitude list. You know, he was on the pissed off list. And you know, this summer we had a bump, you know, and it was minor. It was so minor, but through the night, I imagined myself filing for divorce the next morning. I looked it up, how do you file for divorce in my county, and how was I going to move out of the house and move into someplace else. And I caught myself, and I said, you're being crazy. You're being crazy. And so I called a therapist, went to an outside issue, you know, and she said to me, you know, if you change, you'll be amazed at what will happen. I'm like, oh, brother. And it has been so true. So that was July. August, September, it's only October 14th. Yesterday was his birthday. You know, I changed my attitude. I decided that acceptance was going to be the word of the day for me. How can I accept my husband for who he is, what he is, how he's responding? And then at the same time, take that same opportunity to say to him, you know, I wonder if there's a better way we could handle a conflict when it comes up. And I found this little handout, and I said, you know, what do you think? You know, would you be willing to read this? And he says, probably not. And but part of the acceptance and work in my program was, okay, that's the answer today. And later on, I left him a note on his desk, and I said, you know, this handout was really helpful to me. I wonder if you would just take a look at it and tell me if you think something. And I've also learned, you know, a personal note is so much better. And so sure enough, we sat down together. We figured out a strategy, one out of the 20, not all 20. Compulsive people do 20 all at one time. And it has just, I don't know, when I'm willing to change, when I'm willing to focus, amazing things happen. And then just another story, you know, been so touched by Neva's story and her journey. So when I got married, my husband's kids were grown up, and I was like, this is great. We're on easy street. This all is good. And so, you know, get to know my adult stepkids, and, you know, 2012, my stepdaughter gets married, and she knew I was in OA, but she wanted everybody to have a part to play in the wedding and the celebration. And so she said to me, sprung on me at the last minute, I want you to cut the cake. And you know what? Thanks to this program and sponsor, I just got up there. First of all, nobody cut a wedding cake faster than I did that day. Got that shit off my hands and sat down. And you know what? A year later, she gets diagnosed with breast cancer. 9.5 years later, she passed away. But in that time, we were able to be the best family we could be in those circumstances. And that does not mean we look like the Hallmark family. There were many, many, many challenges and many raw feelings. But that is the story that probably the most, I'm so grateful that when she asked for my help at a moment that meant a lot to her, I set aside myself and was there for her. Thank you.